Well, praise the Lord. What another great special. What a great evening it's already been, just being in church and being able to sing praises to the Lord, receiving what God has for us. And now as we look to the Word of God, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. The book of Revelation, chapter 18. A few years ago, actually, we started in the book of Genesis on Sunday nights, and we went through and taught one message on each book of the Bible, just giving you an outline of that book of the Bible to give us a better understanding of why every book is there, what purpose God has for it. And we went all the way through the scriptures, all the way through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Then we got into the book of Revelation. We started breaking it down, and we've been teaching on it just verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And now we're here in chapter 18 tonight, going into chapter 19. Now, we've always mentioned a few things as we get into our study in the book of Revelation. Now, the Bible is what takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. God's given us everything we need to know about past, present, and future, and it's recorded in the Word of God. And He has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed and the way He has revealed it. There was a purpose for Jesus speaking in parables. There was a purpose in the type of wording that God uses. So we don't always understand why, but we do know this, that God has a purpose for everything that God has revealed and how He has revealed it. And the book of Revelation, it's very hard to just to pick up and read it with understanding. You have to have a good foundation. You have to understand the Bible as a whole. You have to understand the prophecies of the Old Testament. Then you have to understand the teachings of Christ. Much of what Christ taught and what He gave to His apostles helps us to have a clear understanding of the book of Revelation. And so it's just a blessing how it all comes together. But God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. Good men differ on some of the interpretations, some of the typologies, some of the time frames of when things are happening, that type of thing. Good men do not differ on doctrine. If they're good men, they understand and believe the doctrines of the Bible. Amen? And don't ever lose sight of that. But even those that would have the same doctrinal beliefs will differ a little bit on some of the interpretations, especially in the book of Revelation. What I've started and presented to you is what we're continuing on with in this study. This is a practical study of the book of Revelation. I like to take what God has given to us and then make it applicable. I believe that's what most people need, is unless you're studying Greek or something like that. But if you just look to the Bible for what God's given to us, we need to understand that, yes, we do need to understand and be able to have the Greek and the Hebrew to go back into and to study. But we need to understand that He's given it to us so we can might apply it to our lives. And the Bible applied to our lives brings the blessings of God. It's just powerful. And so it's a practical study. Chapter 6 through chapter 19 deal with the tribulation period. There's a 7-year tribulation period. Chapters 18 and 19, or 17 and 18, there is a pause in the chronological order of events in the book of Revelation. And so since chapter 17, or chapter 16, there's been a pause in the chronological order. And chapter 17 and 18 is giving us an overview of all that took place in the 7-year tribulation period. And so last few messages, we've been looking at what 17 and 18, what is given to us. Now we get back into chapter 19, starting in verse 6. It picks back up the chronological order. What's going to come next? Okay, so 17 and 18, we find the rise and then the fall of Babylon. Babylon is to be looked upon as, during the tribulation period, as a one-world government and a one-world religious system. What controls the earth during that time? And we can see as we look around at current-day affairs, what's taken place in the political realm, what's taken place around the world, we can see how the world is even now being prepared to accept a one-world government, a one-world currency, a one-world religion, which will be forced upon the people of the world to be able to agree with this. And if you disagree with this, then you will have consequences. And of course, then that's where it comes in, the mark of the beast and being able to buy and sell and all the different things. So we know all these things. It is for that to take place in a 7-year period. And if that is close, then the world has to start being prepared for that to happen. And we look around the signs of the time, and the world is being prepared for that very thing to take place. And so the tribulation period, this Babylon, this one world system, toward the end of the tribulation period, Satan himself will be, through the beast, he'll be elevated and placed on the throne, and he will be looked at by the world as God. He'll be worshipped as God. And there'll be a lot of things that lead up to that place, but that's when the destruction will come. And then Christ will return for the rapture of the church. That's the battle of Armageddon when Christ returns. That's the next step in chronological order that we're going to be studying in chapter 19. Okay, and so but chapter 17 and 18, it is just giving us an overview. Last week we studied two main groups that would mourn over the fall of Babylon. They've given their life to make money. They've given their lives to hold a position that is reverenced by man. And both of them will mourn because everything they've worked and given their life for is going to be lost. It's going to be destroyed. And so we find that the Bible tells us about those two main groups that will mourn over the fall of Babylon because they realize a wasted life. And the message last week was we need to live to serve God. Because we live to serve God, that has eternal rewards to it. And that which is eternal is far more important than that which is that is temporal. And a message from God. So we looked at that. Now tonight, we're going to be looking in Revelation chapter 18, starting in verse 20, and read down to chapter 19 and verse 5. Okay? And the message that God has for us tonight is to rejoice over the fall of Babylon. And so if you'll stand with me this evening, we'll read starting in Revelation chapter 18, verse 20. Hopefully that hadn't confused you. If you've been here with us all along, you have a better idea of what the book of Revelations is teaching us and why we need to have this understanding. But Revelation chapter 18 and verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven. Rejoice over the destruction of Babylon. And ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman and whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us, for giving us this another opportunity to assemble and to study in this book of the Revelation. And Father, we know how difficult it might be for many to fully grasp the teachings of this book of Revelation, but I pray tonight that each one would just open up their hearts and their minds to receive what you have for them, and I pray that you'd speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to on whatever level of understanding they have to encourage them and to instruct them in the Word. I pray that you would just bless in this service, For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find here God's command to rejoice and praise Him over the fall of Babylon. Can I tell you this evening, we need to be able to rejoice over evil being defeated. But as we rejoice over evil being defeated, we must never rejoice over any individual being hurt. The goal is not to hurt people. The goal is not to kill people. The goal is defeat evil. Mankind is not the enemy. Satan himself is the enemy. As I was thinking about this and preparing to preach and to teach what he's telling us here, because that's what God is saying in chapter 18 and verse 20, he says, rejoice over her, over Babylon being destroyed. Rejoice. Evil's been defeated. And then in chapter 19 and verse 5, he says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God. We need to praise God and we need to rejoice when we see and acknowledge that evil has been defeated. In raising children, one of the toughest things that I believe that a parent has to do is to discipline their children. If you really enjoy disciplining your children, if you enjoy hearing them and seeing them cry, there's something wrong with you. I don't know that any loving parent really enjoys having to discipline their children. No loving parent enjoys making their children cry. But you have to break the will of that child, amen? And you have to realize that the reason that I am disciplining this child is because some kind of sin has incurred. Some kind of disobedience, some kind of rebellion, some kind of an act that cannot allow to be gotten by with. They have to be disciplined for what they've done. Because evil has to be defeated, and evil has to be defeated in our homes. Evil has to be defeated in our lives. We can rejoice when evil is defeated. We don't rejoice over making people cry. We don't rejoice over people getting hurt. But evil has to be defeated. Afterwards, I rejoice because I know that the will of God had taken place in disciplining my child when they did wrong. God gives me that command, gives the parents a command to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The parent is commanded to make sure that discipline is carried out, to make sure that that child is raised to understand you cannot get by with sin, because sin will destroy your life. Rebellion will destroy your life. And so we have to do what we have to do, and we have to judge sin and rejoice over sin being defeated, and to that little heart of that child finally realizing, I'm sorry, I did wrong. I won't do it again. Rejoice. And I thought about that and relating it to what is going to be taking place during this tribulation period and the judgment upon Babylon. And God says, rejoice over the destruction of evil. Rejoice over the evil being defeated. And praise God for knowing God's will is being fulfilled. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Bible prophecy is God's will. It's not God's will that any should perish. But the truth of it is, there's going to be many go to a devil's hell. Not God's will that not one of those go to hell. God did not prepare hell for humanity. Hell, the Bible says, is prepared for Satan and his demons. But every lost soul, every man, woman, and child above the age of accountability that has had an opportunity and has rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will die and go to a devil's hell. Can I tell you that does not cause for rejoicing over seeing people go to hell, but it is rejoicing over knowing that Satan will be defeated. And God has a judgment for him, an eternal judgment. Throughout time, God has given man ample opportunity to know him. If you look in the Old Testament, before God's judgment of Israel, they had ample opportunity after opportunity to acknowledge God and do right. New Testament, ample opportunity to do right. He's done all that he can to try to prevent man from going to a devil's hell, to have to stand in judgment for their own sin. He gave his only begotten son to die for us. My goodness. A loving God, people say, well, a loving God would never send anybody to hell. God does not. God has done everything to try to save you from hell. It is sin that demands a wage, demands a payment. Sin sends a person to hell. The wages of sin is death. And God has done everything he could and continues to do everything within the free will of mankind to give man ample opportunity to repent and receive the gift. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. God has made it available as a free gift to all who will call upon him. So God has outlined what would happen. There's a purpose why God has revealed what he's revealed. The purpose why God revealed in the Old Testament the things that he did led to the New Testament. There's a purpose that Jesus came preaching to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There was a purpose that he revealed the place of heaven. And there was a purpose for him revealing the place of hell. And if you study the teachings of Christ, he taught more on hell than he taught on heaven. A purpose, so that we would understand what's taking place. We would understand that there's going to be a judgment of sin, and there is a place of eternal damnation. He's outlined what would happen, and ultimately, all will be judged. Ultimately, everyone will stand and give an account of themselves, because that's all we can truly control. You'll never give an account for how you were raised, how you raise your children. You'll give an account for your part. You'll give an account for what you've done with the opportunities that God's made available to you. You'll give an account for what you, the choices that you have made, that I have made. Free will of mankind. And God will not force that. But he's outlined what would happen. Every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability will stand and give an account of themselves. So the reason for the judgment of Babylon. We find here that understanding the reason of this would also help us to be able to rejoice over the defeat of evil, the destruction of Babylon, as he had given commandments for them to rejoice and to praise him over. In chapter 18, in verse 23 and verse 24, we find here, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. They had the light. They had the light of the world, Jesus Christ. They had the light of the church. They had the light of every born-again believer who would testify of the grace of God. The light of the world, the salt of the earth. And the light of the candle shall be no more at all in her. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more. Jesus' voice is being heard through the preaching and the teaching of his word. The bridegroom, the church, was doing everything during this time to help people to understand that there is a God, to help people understand that there is a loving God who has a desire for all to be saved, and God has a plan for the world. God has a plan for all to be saved. So it's been there, but he be heard no more at all. In thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. chapter 19, verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. As the world rejects Jesus Christ, and as the world rejects the witness of Christians, as the world rejects you, and you suffer persecution, and there have been many persecuted for just the witness of Christ throughout the centuries, God said, for this purpose, the judgment is coming. They had shed this innocent blood. And based on God's will being done, they would stand in judgment for what they've done. Matthew chapter 21. Here again, we find the teachings of Christ and what he had taught in the parables helps us to better understand what this passage of Scripture is teaching us here. Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 33, Jesus gives a parable of the householder, which reveals God's love for humanity and God's desire to have fruit born on this earth and through man. He says, here another parable in verse 33. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. That would be looked at as the prophets and those that stood for what was right, stood for the Lord. And again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. And will let out his vineyard into other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their season. Judgment is coming. Because God said it would come. And it's coming because they rejected the light and they shed the innocent blood. And God said there's judgment for that. The reason for his judgment is God has also promised that vengeance would be his. That justice would prevail. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 with me. 2 Thessalonians, everybody following me tonight, amen? It's coming and we have to understand why it's coming. And we have to rejoice over the fact that it is coming. The will of God, what God has revealed that would take place. Prophecy is the will of God. And we know that this world is going to be judged. That's the prophecy that God's given to us. In 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, in verse 6. The Bible says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He's writing to the believers of Thessalonica. And he said, you know, love your enemies. And even if you're persecuted, rejoice in the opportunity you have to acknowledge Christ in you. Now, that's not saying that a believer needs to lay down and be a floor mat for anybody. That's not God's will. God does not want us to be intentionally abused, and that's not it. But God wants us to have a testimony. And if it's going to help the cause of Christ to suffer for Christ, then suffer for, be willing to suffer for Christ. Letting people get by with sin is not helping the cause of Christ. That's not what it's talking about there. But loving our enemies and praying for them who despitefully use you, praying that God forgive them for they know not what they do. God, I pray their souls be saved. God, help me to do something that might spark something in their hearts and their minds to want to receive you as their Savior. Help me in how I respond to them, for them to see Christ in me. That's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about here. And so he says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And so those that are persecuting you for the cause of Christ, for your stand for righteousness, when you try to help people and tell them God has established morality, it's not up to humanity to determine what is moral and what is not moral. It is the Word of God. It's God who established it. And when they persecute you simply because you've just stood by, and you're standing where America has always stood in the past on holiness and righteousness and morality, things that used to be sinful, things that used to be against the law are now open to whatever. And those who stand against whatever are the ones that are closer to being imprisoned. But we stand for what the Bible says. And you're going to be persecuted when you love people and try to help people by realizing, no, it's not God's will for you to live together in fornication. No, it's not God's will for you to go out and partake of alcohol and drugs and promiscuity and all these different things. And no, it's not right for to do this. And no, it's not right to do that. And understanding this is the will of God. And when you try to represent Christ to the world, there's going to be persecution. And people are going to say all manner of evil against you. And God says it's a righteous thing with God to know that one day they're going to be judged. To recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Look right here. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Can I tell you, rejoice, now it's coming to pass. We're looking at the future, and the future reveals God's will is that they be punished, that this world be punished, that there is a tribulation period, and God will bring down this mighty Babylon. Right. Don't rejoice over the people being hurt. Rejoice over evil being defeated. Amen. God has promised justice will prevail. Romans 12:19, vengeance mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Let God do it. You try to seek vengeance on your own, it's going to destroy you. Turn it over to God. Have peace of mind knowing God can handle it better than I can. Amen. I'm not going to let that which I can't control control me and bring me down to that very same level. Not going to do that. Amen. But know that God will avenge his own. So rejoice. Rejoice. And praise God. God's will for judgment. Rejoice mainly as we understand this. Because evil is defeated and righteousness will rule. If you know prophecy, you understand that as Babylon is destroyed and God, through the tribulation period, destroys a one world religious system and destroys a one world government that is corrupt and evil, the church is raptured out. But then after that destruction, that judgment, we find that the church will return as a bride of Christ to set up a righteous rule. Praise the Lord for that. Can I tell you, when you understand what's to come, you can rejoice over evil being defeated. But can I tell you, when you're rejoicing over evil being defeated and understanding that righteousness is a rule, realize that sin is ugly. Getting rid of it will not be pleasant. If you've allowed Satan a stronghold in your life at any point in your life, you look back and you realize how ugly that sin was, how destructive it was, whether it's to an addiction of alcohol, whether it's an addiction of drugs, maybe it was an addiction of some type of sexual immorality, and you realize how ugly that was and what it could have done to my life, already scarred to a certain extent, but it could have destroyed. And it has destroyed so much. Sin is ugly. Once Satan has that stronghold, it's going to be a difficult time. It's not going to be a pleasant thing to get rid of those strongholds. It's not going to be easy. Once Satan has a control and a stronghold in someone's life, he never wants to give it up. But greater is he that is within you than he is in the world. And God can give you that victory. But in going, getting through that and destroying that evil, getting rid of that evil, it's not a very pleasant thing. You have to start realizing your part in the sin. You start realizing, no, Satan didn't make me do it. I yielded to it. You start realizing how many people that your sin has affected. It's not a pleasant thing, but you have to come to that understanding. God, forgive me. God, help me never to go back. Help me never to return to that place of sin. Help me never to get under that control of that substance again. God, help me to continue to look to you and go forward. Sin is ugly. But once it is defeated, and once you get through it, what a joy and a blessing it is to see what God is able to do. The judgment of this world is not going to be pleasant. We've been going through and reading some of the things that's going to happen to this earth, and oh my goodness, that's not pleasant. And people will suffer, and it's never God's intent to rejoice over people suffering, but over evil being defeated. The results will be worth it all. Many of those amens out there is people that's overcome addictions, that people that's overcome sin, and they realize it has been worth it all. Amen. It has been. We understand what it did, and we understand where I'm at now, and praise God that through his grace and through his help, I am where I am today, only by the grace of God. And you rejoice over that. All will acknowledge God. After this judgment, and once Christ returns to set up this 1,000-year millennial reign, all the earth will acknowledge God. Everyone on earth will hate what God hates. Wow. You say God hates? God hates sin. I love Proverbs chapter 6. It gives us a little bit of a description of some of the things that God hates. And can I tell you, we need to hate what God hates. And if you'll start with things and hate these things, it'll help your life. In Proverbs in chapter 6, let me just read it to you. Proverbs in chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood." These are things the world is being judged for. "A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations." Just given over to the wickedness of the imaginations of your heart. Given over to the wickedness of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And God says, I hate that. "A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren." Today, if we will learn to hate those things, it'll help your life. But we can rejoice and praise God knowing that one day everybody on earth is going to hate what God hates. Those that will not be here. They will be judged and removed. No more death. No more debate over the things that we battle today. No more debate over abortion. During that 1,000-year millennial reign, yeah, there'll be marriages and there will be children being born. Humanity will continue to reproduce on this earth. But in an environment where everybody's going to hate what God hates and love what God loves, and Jesus is going to rule in righteousness, there will be no debate over abortion. There'll be no debate over euthanasia. There'll be no debate over morality. There'll be no debate over what makes up a marriage. No debate. I'm rejoicing. I wish we could abolish all that today. Amen. No more debate over that. No more addictions to drugs. No more addictions to alcohol. No more addictions to gambling. No more addictions to sex, sexual activities, in which is possibly the worst of all the addictions in our present day society today. And it goes far beyond what most people even imagine. The addiction to pornography, and because it's so readily available in young people's lives as well as adults. Destroying your minds, destroying your heart and your emotions, and destroying the love of family. No more. I rejoice over that. I'm not rejoicing over the fact that people will suffer on the earth, that God will have to end judging this world and judging the world because of their sin. People will suffer. God is not rejoicing over people suffering, but God is rejoicing over evil being defeated and looking forward to righteousness being established. In our homes, can I tell you, that's what we need to look forward to. Hate what God hates in the home. Stand for what God stands for in the home. Discipline that which is sinful. Not because you're wanting to see your children cry. Not because you're wanting to hurt them. But because you know that this is what they have need of to get the victory over sin. Yeah. To learn to discipline themselves to live as God would have them to live. Yeah, amen. No more addictions. I can rejoice and praise God for that. No more hurt. The more you are dealing with people and their sin, the more you see the hurt brought on by sin. And I know as a pastor, I wish I could do more to help people. Wish I could do more to help people salvage their marriages. Wish I could do more to help people that are in abusive situations. I wish I could do more to help people that are struggling because of the results of sin. See the hurt, and you see the innocent victims. Children, the innocent victims. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to close. Matthew chapter 18. We're to rejoice, and they are told to rejoice. We can rejoice over knowing that God's will be fulfilled. Sin will be defeated. Righteousness will rule and reign. But what we have to go through today might not be pleasant. What we have to go through today might even be ugly from time to time. We have something to look forward to that will bring rejoicing into our lives. God's will take place. Matthew chapter 18. For those that have suffered being innocent victims, look what God says about this. Verse 6. He said, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones?" I don't care how old you are. I love this thought. I give it from time to time. I am 58. A couple weeks ago, I thought I said 58, and my wife said you was 48, and everyone. I was not really trying to be younger than I am. Amen. I'm 58 years of age, but I don't care how old I get. I'm not old. I am older. I'm not old. But no matter what age I become in this life, I'm always going to be God's little boy. No matter how old you are, no matter what age, you're God's child. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, you can put yourself in that place, which believe in me, it were better for him, the one that offended you, that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. I'm not rejoicing over somebody getting drowned in the sea. I'm rejoicing over that evil being defeated. I'm rejoicing over that evil being addressed and evil being defeated. Praising God for it, knowing it's going to take place. Woe unto the world because of offenses. God's given mankind a free will. And whatever sin man commits, you never sin to yourself. It always affects somebody else. So woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses cometh. Why? Because every man has a free will. But woe. I like that. This is God saying woe. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Why? Read the book of Revelation. Read the judgment of God. And I would say, woe to that man. Because God is going to judge the wicked. And we can rejoice over evil being defeated and what God has in store for our future. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. In the destruction of Babylon, we find those that will mourn. And then we find those that will rejoice. Praise the Lord for being able to rejoice. For God's will being fulfilled. Knowing who God is. Knowing that He will avenge His own. And knowing He has something better prepared for us in our future. Praise the Lord. Rejoice in Him. Father, we love You. Thank You tonight for what You revealed to us through Your Scripture, through Your Word. And God, we know that You have a purpose for revealing everything that You've revealed. And we understand what will take place and the prophecies will be fulfilled and You will judge. We rejoice over that. And we rejoice over evil being defeated and looking forward to righteousness being established. I pray tonight, God, for all that are here. And I don't know just how You spoke to each one and on what kind of spiritual level and what kind of need. But Father, if there's those here tonight that need to make decisions, possibly somebody here that needs to get saved, they need to become a child, a born-again believer. I pray they get saved tonight. Somebody that needs to come to surrender to believer's baptism, to present themselves. Somebody who needs to come to rededicate a life. Somebody who needs to come to confess and have a desire to overcome evil, sin. Whatever it might be, God, work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.